Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, let's talk to the king. We do it, every single Thursday at this time.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now, go, cat, go, but don't
be doing that.
Step on my blue suede shoe.
Don't step on the shoe. Be nice. Well, you can do it. You got to get along with everyone. No stepping on shoes. Hey, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Taste of Cake studio. And Howard Eskin is always brought to us by Delaware Valley BMW Centers. King, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
You know, Howard, there's a lot to get to here today, and I want to do a little bit on a bunch of the teams, but let's start Eagles. Camp is over. Simple question.
You know what? Let me just correct you on that.
Oh, okay.
It's over for the media, all right? It's over for the fans.
Yep.
But today, you know, they're scheduled, what they told us, two walkthroughs in a row. There's no way they're doing two walkthroughs.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, so what I could have specified, and maybe should have, training camp officially over, but essentially they just keep doing the same
officially
thing.
Officially for the fans and for the media.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would think they're going to have the practice today will have plays that they don't want everybody to see.
I agree.
So I think, but just, hey, they're not done working.
Correct.
And because the players aren't going to play on Saturday, the starters and most of the guys, you're going to play guys off the street on Saturday.
Yep.
I think they want to get a lot of work in because they're going to have some days off next week.
Yep.
You got a long week before you have a game.
Now, so that makes sense for sure. All right.
They're still working. So they're still working.
Howard, with what you saw, and you had been, as I had been critical of Jalen this offseason, did he exceed your expectations in training camp?
I don't know that I had expectations. What I did is I wanted to see if he was going to get better. Did he get better? Yes. I think that's, for me, the way I would express it is he had a good camp.
But, Howard, you were pretty hard on him. I mean, you had to have some expectations. I mean, you and I were pretty aligned in being
hard. I expected he would get better. He couldn't be, as I think, as bad as he was the end of last year and inconsistent through the year. He had to get better. So, you know, you watch and see what he does, and I don't care about the numbers, and it's a record because of a guy that's a Cub reporter that hasn't been covering the Eagles for a long time. Do we know that Donovan McNabb didn't have that kind of streak? It's camp, and do we know he didn't throw an interception when we weren't there in camp? So, you know, all those things considered, but he played really well. And the thing that I look at is his accuracy. And I thought he threw a good ball, and he was very accurate. I've talked to coaches, and they they told me that he's done, we don't know if he's made the right reads and done the right things, but they told me he's really done a good job with that. So I don't know that I had expected he would get better. Let's put it that
way.
And he did. He got better.
Howard, we could go through all 11 guys. Don't want to do that. I think we all know who those 11 guys are. How many defensive starters start in the final preseason game?
I don't think you're going to start. I don't think you're going to start anybody. And basically, last week, what do you have? One or two? I forget.
Defensive starters?
No, you had more than that because you had.
No, he had like eight.
A bunch of the young guys. It was pretty much everyone.
The first game, not the second game. He didn't have his.
New England, yeah.
Yeah, Devin White still played, and
Devin White played,
and Hoff played. He made the first couple plays of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you didn't have Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis.
Well, you probably don't have.
You didn't have Slay. Gardner Johnson was hurt, and I guess Blankenship was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we don't know who the starters are. That's the other thing. So are they starters, or are they just do they want to see what they have? But remember, the other team's not going to play a lot of players, so you're judging them against backup players. On the other thing, they're going to look at some guys who possibly are starters. So I want to see the offense in full gear. That's what my biggest interest coming into the season. I want to see what this offense is like because they should put teams in the rearview mirror points-wise early in games. And if they do that, then the defense is going to be able to do a lot of things that Vic Fangio wants them to do. I like Vic Fangio has always been a tough coach. But I like what Nolan Smith said yesterday. You know, he's got these guys revved up. You know, listen to Nolan, and I posted it on Twitter. But he's got these guys revved up because he shows them old videos, which you can't hit the way you used to. You can't be as physical. But it gets the guys excited, and multiple players have said that. So there's an energy. They didn't really hit last year. I think they're going to be more physical. And Gardner Johnson's going to be more physical. And obviously when he plays, and I don't see any reason, from what I understand, that he won't start the season because he's not playing now. They just want to make sure everything's okay. But no, the defense is going to be fun to watch how physical they are. And I was asked a question yesterday with Giglio. I don't know who I was on with. I don't even know what day it is today. Oh, the other day. You know, who's going to have the most sacks? I think the defense will have more sacks as a team will have more sacks. I don't think you're going to see any one individual player go crazy with the numbers of sacks, but it's going to be fun to watch the physical play.
Howard, let's get to the Phil. So obviously, a good win last night against the Braves. A strange way to get there in the ninth inning was a roller coaster. But the Arcia thing staring at Bryce Harper. Do you think it's weak by Arcia, or is it a matter of look, Bryce did it to him, so Arcia gets to do it back, and Bryce just has to eat it, even though the Phillies won. Like, where do you come down on Arcia doing that back to Bryce?
Well, you know, it's great for everybody to talk about and to look at and, like, why do you do it? But players try to show up other players all the time. The game is so different in that regard. They're doing it all the time. I don't care, but, hey, Bryce Harper's got a hit.
Yeah, he does.
You know, we got to worry about whether he's going to hit or not. That top of the order, the last two games, has been brutal.
Bryce is very lucky that the Phillies got a well-pitched game, because if they had not, they would have lost, and he would be more under the microscope, as this thing would be a five-game lead, and he just hasn't hit much for a while now.
All right, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Bryce Harper or Freddie Freeman?
I'd rather have Bryce Harper, but Freddie Freeman's a great player.
Oh, Freddie Freeman's is having a better year.
And that could be. I mean, I'd have to check the stats.
You know,
I know he's been great.
The Dodgers right now are a better team. Now, their pitching is not as good, but who knows? I don't know what pitchers they have coming back and guys that are trying to get healthy. But the Dodgers, they've gotten some players back. Muncy is going crazy since he's come back. Their offense is really good right now. And that's what the Phillies need. They are a flawed team. They're a good team. and I always have to say that because people jump on me. They're a good team, but they are flawed.
Howard, let me ask you this about Rob Thomas.
Their bullpen is a joke.
The Phillies?
Yes.
Well, it's been bad lately. I won't say it's a joke, but they haven't pitched well lately.
Well, I mean, who can you really count on?
Well, you could count on four different guys in the first half, and now none of them. But
we're not in the first half.
It was interesting. Hoffman, what was that? Was that the sixth or the seventh inning last night? That was pretty early.
Sixth inning.
Six.
He brought him in the
sixth.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah.
He
struggled
when he came.
No,
late.
I get it. I'm just saying that's a change. I mean, he probably hasn't pitched that early in a while.
Who do you love from the Dodger bullpen, Howard, if the Dodgers are that much better than the Phillies?
It's a great point, Jody.
The Dodgers can score.
Eric Gagne is not an acceptable answer, by
Michael
the way.
Michael Kopech. I got one. That's it.
I don't like either one of them, but the Phillies don't score enough runs.
They haven't lately. Howard, let me ask you about Rob Thomson.
Yep.
Do you believe, like, you know John Middleton.
Yep.
You've been around him a while.
Yep.
Do you believe Rob Thomson's job is on the line in the next 2.5 months?
Well, sure it is. If the Phillies don't have success in the... We know they're making...
If they lose in the first round of the playoff, whether it's the first round or the first round they play in the second round, if they lose, is he out?
I would think there's a good chance he would be because you can't change the players, especially with all the long-term contracts they have on this team. So you're going to change. Who else are you going to change? You're going to change the manager. I didn't like what Rob Thomson did with not hitting Bryce Harper and resting three players. So his roster is short for that game because he's not going to play them. But I don't like that. But I think that input, I think he makes the decision. That input comes from people that show him numbers. And those 2 days off didn't do any of those players any good. So I think he's in trouble. But I don't know that it's John Middleton. I mean, Dave Dombrowski, John Middleton will be upset if they lose early in the playoffs. Very upset. And he'll talk about it with Dombrowski. But I think John Middleton is an owner that's good in that regard. He lets the people he put in place make those decisions. And he will let Dombrowski make that decision. And based on what you say, but that's a hypothetical. If that happens, if they lose early in the playoffs, you look at changes. But remember, who you're bringing in doesn't change the players. Doesn't mean Bryce Harper is going to start playing. It doesn't mean that Trey Turner is not going to go up and down. All those other things. It doesn't mean that your bullpen is going to get better. So the Phillies have young players that they're counting on, and I guess I'm assuming that's why they didn't make a bigger trade for a closer. Estevez is not doing.
No, it hasn't been good. Hey, Howard, stay well, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, there he is, Howard Eskin. 215-592-9494. Coming up, an interesting answer from Jalen Hurts during yesterday's press. Jody, go ahead.
One quickie: the LA Dodgers this year played two more games than the Phillies, and they've scored 630 runs. The Phillies have played two less; they've scored 610.
Basically the same thing, more or less. Yes.
Yeah. They played two less games. They've scored 20 less. They played 126.
But it's also how you get there. It's got a little bit of that Eagles thing going. 11-6 looks great, but how you deliver yourself to the postseason matters.
True, but we got 36 games yet to go.
I agree.
Do we decide when the Eagles had lost?
I know.
Before they lost it. By the way, I don't think I've ever asked you. What was the most embarrassing non-playoff? Tampa. It stands alone. What was the most embarrassing Eagle loss last year?
Well, I mean, I would say Arizona because
absolutely.
I could
has
at least understand versus the Giants. They might not be motivated to give it their full go. Arizona was a game that they should have been trying their hardest, and they lost to a horrible team with a quarterback that looked like Joe Montana, even though he's not.
Right. Arizona was one of the worst teams in the National Football League last year, and they lost that game. So if you judge the Eagles prior to that Arizona game and said, oh, my God, the sky is falling, could have said, yeah, you don't even know what's yet to come.
No question.
So with 38 games to go, I'm not going to go, oh, my God, the Phillies are falling apart at the seams. Well, get to me in late September, okay? Then we'll decide how falling apart at the seams they are heading into the postseason.
All right, some interesting answers from Jalen Hurts in his press conference yesterday. We get to that next. Plus, Nick Sirianni, if you missed this yesterday, he was asked a series of questions about his antics in past years. This was probably the deepest dive Sirianni has ever gone on his behavior and whether he's looking to change it this year. It was really fascinating. We'll get to that and more. Your phone calls and all these topics, plus five questions for the Mac Man. I got a couple of random Philadelphia sports questions for him and all the calls. Jody Kammer, Jody Mack in for John today on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about United Tire, which is a it's where I get my car serviced. United Tire and Service, 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley, where I tell you all the time you should get your car serviced as well, because they are the best. Right now, you can stop by United Tire. Let's say you want to trade in your tires. You'll get $100 off four new tires. $100 off, no promo code needed. You'll get United's no-fault road hazard coverage for free. That includes free maintenance like rotations, flat repairs, and more. That's two different amazing deals. It's why I always tell you nobody beats United. All their promotions apply, like manufacturer rebates. United completes them for you. So get yourself to United Tire and Service. You can start with their website, unitedtire.com. Find the location nearest you at that website, unitedtire.com. Remember, I say it all the time. If you take care of... All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Got a camera and the Mac Man. Jody Mack in for John. We got five questions for the Mac Man. We got two down, three to go. We'll get to a couple this segment. Also, Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the all-new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. So ESPN's got a big story out this week with the Eagles as one of five teams most likely to take a step backwards this upcoming season compared to last year. Of course, it was brutal at the end last year, but they did, in fact, win 11 games. It's a weird way to get there, but they went 11-6. We asked you today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is the most likely outcome for the Eagles this regular season? Is it A, that they go 11-6 again, B, they win more than 11, or C, they win less than 11? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter.
Quick question along the lines of the point you were making. Last year, 32 teams, National Football League. How many won more regular season games than the Eagles?
I'll take a stab and say four.
That would be exactly correct. Four. So there were only four teams that had a better regular season than the Eagles out of 32. Yet we look at the Eagles season as a disaster.
Yeah, we do.
You could flip it around, though, and say how many teams lost six of their last seven.
Of course.
I bet it's not many of that either.
you're, it's the order. It's the order in which the wins
it was
and
the way
came.
The whole freaking
sure,
thing happened.
Of course.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
But when Bill Barnwell's writing an article, which, by the way, Barnwell's not a giant homer. I don't know where that guy came from.
No,
he's one of the more respected
he's
writers.
He's a Giants fan, but he's not. I've never felt like he was homery about it.
He covered the Giants for a good bunch of years, but he hadn't done that for a decade and a half. And he's a really good writer. Now, I think he overstated. I don't think they're one of the five teams most likely to go backwards. So I disagree with him, but I thought it was unfair to take a disparaging shot at him. Yeah, it all comes down to the way you look at it. They faded. They won 11 games during the regular season. Is Barnwell looking at, at least in reading the article, I don't think he was making any postseason comments.
No, no.
I think he was all talking about end of 17 regular season games. Well, the Eagles were pretty damn good. They were only four teams better than them in the whole league. So if you look at it that way,
yeah, that's true.
Might change the way you look at it overall.
Sure could. 215-592-9494. Life advice with the Hammer today in about an hour. You ask what you need help with, and I'm like the giving tree. Who was it, Shel Silverstein?
Silverstein, correct.
It's the first time I got that right in a while.
I'm shocked.
Giving Tree is an all-timer. When you think of kids' books, you got, you know, Charlotte's Web. That's a little bit more advanced. You know, you got, the giving, that's what
Good
I
night,
am.
Moon
Good
sticks
night,
out.
Good yeah. night, Moon. Good
Where
night, Moon.
Where the Wild
moon.
Things Are?
I don't know that one.
What?
Yeah, Where the Wild Things
Maurice
Are?
Maurice Sendak.
What is this?
They made a movie out of Where the Wild
they
Things
did.
Are.
They did.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you know the author, though. I didn't know that. That was a deep cut.
This yeah, might be that generational difference, Devin. I mean, I'm 46.
Maybe.
No, that was big when we were young.
Was
Where
it?
The Wild Things. Yeah, it
All
was.
Right. Fair enough. All right.
I'll give you another difference.
What?
There are a whole bunch of people out there going, what is he talking about? Chris Jericho. Why is he bringing up Chris Jericho?
Who's Chris Jericho?
The wrestler?
No idea. Yes. Because his name is now The Learning Tree.
No way. Is it really?
Yes. That is his new nickname. Jericho's been doing wrestling for like 25 years.
Jerry, you've been
He's had eight or nine different nicknames over the 25 years. He is right now The Learning Tree.
You are a wrestling aficionado,
yes.
sir. It's impressive.
Only been watching it
All right,
for 50 years.
So life advice. Get a scenario in Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. What do you need help with? And we'll have some fun with that in an hour. Jody, we're doing five questions with you today. Let me ask you a Phillies question. Because, you know, one of the main themes this season on the negative side for the Phillies has been the belief, and I'm one of them that believes it, that Rob Thomson does too much trust in his players at times. I want to paint a scenario for you, Jody. I want you to tell me which way this would come down if this happens. Ranger pitches in September, but doesn't really reestablish. He pitches in September the way he pitched in June and July. Just kind of muddles through. Sanchez pitches better than Ranger down the stretch. Does Ranger get the ball for game three just because?
Yes, and he should. I would agree with Rob Thomson if he goes there. In your hypothetical situation, now, if Sanchez is better than Wheeler and he's their best pitcher, okay, now maybe we've got a different conversation. But you're not suggesting he'll be better
Let me take that to you. If Sanchez pitches in September the way he pitched in the first whatever it was, two months, and Ranger pitches in September the way Ranger pitched in June and July, who gets the third game start?
I think it'll still be Ranger.
I do too.
Yeah.
And that's probably a mistake.
I mean, look, it's hard with Ranger specifically because of the playoff thing. We know the way his heart beats.
We love
all thing.
Him.
And also, he has proven that he's a damn good playoff pitcher compared to what he normally is in the regular season.
But also, given Rob Thompson's choice, he lets him get 11 outs instead of, you know, the typical
18. No, I'm just saying that Ranger is a unique example when it comes to playoff pitching. But look, I would go with the guy who's pitching better. I don't think Rob will.
Right,
I mean, you can make an argument if Sanchez continues, especially with his home numbers, that Sanchez should start game two if they're at home.
I would not.
I wouldn't either.
I'm just saying
you can make an argument for that. That's definitely not going to happen.
And oh, by the way, one of my major critiques of Rob Thomson, who I'm a big fan of, all you have to do is listen to his show and know that I'm a fan. He so mishandled Sanchez in the playoff game last year against Arizona. There was no way he was pitching deep into that game. He got pulled in the third inning. He had given up an unearned run. Unearned. Not an unearned run. An unearned run.
He didn't trust him.
That's what I mean. That will not be the case this year.
No,
that'll
I agree,
be a plus
but...
for the Phillies. Going into whatever game he starts, he's not going to get pulled out after two and a third having given up an unearned run.
No, I agree with that. But I'll say, look, I don't even remember the game. I mean, obviously we watched it. I'm just saying there was a lot last year about Christopher Sanchez to not trust yet in that spot.
Yeah, I disagree. I thought he pulled him way too early. And here's the biggest reason why. Because if you're going to pull your starter in the third inning, you know you're going through the whole bullpen.
I know.
And you know what that means. At some point, Craig Kimbrell's going to come into a big spot.
I got gotcha.
And what happened? Craig Kimbrell came into a big spot, and he gave it up.
Was it game four?
Should have known that.
Game four, Arizona.
Yes.
Okay, no, that's a good point then. All right, so Sirianni on his antics from last year as it relates to this year. What he said, we're going to get to that in a moment. Mike right now. Michael, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, gang. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Jody. Good morning, Devin, everybody. I'm annoyed.
I'm
going to get out right now, okay? Because I can't believe that there's still so much chatter of us, you know, clinging on to the demise of last year. I get it. We all witnessed it. Do we also not remember, and do we also, have we forgotten how quickly we addressed everything? And I mean everything. Everything has been fixed. And, like, I feel like no one is really kind of putting the same amount of effort, you know, into that. Like, guys, this team, I'm sorry, I'm sticking to it, 14-3. Nobody can bring me off of that.
Well, I'll just tell you this, Mike. That's extremely hard to do. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm telling you the number of times Eagles with a 16 or 17-game schedule got to the point where they only lost three are 0-3, 0-4, no, not even 0-3. Yeah, 0-3, 0-4, and 17. That's it. That's hard.
Okay. I'm not saying it's easy. However, again, sometimes, you know, you got to go Occam's razor. You go with the simplest answer. I look at the roster. I look at the schedule. I look at the conference. I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Nobody can tell me otherwise. Like, it's real simple. Everything's been addressed. And you know what?
Well, maybe other than the pass rush, Mike. First off, right guard seems really shaky. It seems really shaky. But look, it's one position, and most great teams have a position where they're weak. I mean, it's typical. But the pass rush is really important, and I don't know that it's there.
So So to that point, Jody said this earlier, and you know, I want to hit on this. Like, we could all talk about the offense. You know, we all know what the potency of the offense. I agree with what Jody said earlier. I think Fangio is going to come in with some new wrinkles, and I think you're going to see a different Fangio. You're going to see a different defense. The way I see this defense, potentially, because we have this, you know, we're stacked in the secondary now, that should allow Fangio to do a lot of blitzing. You know, Nicobe loves to get his hands dirty. He's going in head first. He's, you know, he's like a bullet into the line. And you got these four linebackers. For the first time, and I can't remember how long, we have, you know, four linebackers that we can do a lot of little different things.
Mike, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is the risk to blitzing?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of risk to blitzing. You know, you have
what's the main thing? If you blitz, what's the biggest problem that can happen?
I mean, you get exposed with short passes.
Long passes. The other team burned
open receivers.
Yeah, open receivers, yeah, and generally, five. I mean, Mike, here's my point. I don't expect them to blitz much. That's number one. And number two, there's something to be said with, like, all these young defensive backs. You know, let these guys get into their career before they start getting burned and start losing confidence. Like, I can't tell you what's inside all their hearts and minds, right? How do you know? But I know this. If guys start getting beat early because you blitz and they don't have help, that might not be the right way to... And I'm not saying play scared. I mean, I'm not advocating that. I am saying, let's not go wild with the blitz here. I mean, you got a lot of young defensive backs, man. I'd be very careful with that.
And Joe, I agree, but I look at it a little differently. I look at it as like, yeah, we have a lot of young, very talented, you know, backs that, you know what, we should be getting pressure a lot quicker. So I don't see them getting burned
by
people.
Mike, give me a great answer. A sports quote. What do you got?
All right. Well, I'm also glad to hear that Jody is a wrestling aficionado.
Always.
Some people think wrestling's not a sport. I happen to think it is. And Ric Flair said, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Well,
woo!
It's pretty good.
It's great. I mean, it gets said all the time.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's true. All right, let's get to Sirianni. So one of the things that was said, you know, a lot this offseason was he's got to tone it down. I was one of them. You know, we
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We had heard reports that the Eagles' upper management, the brass, whether it's Howie and Jeff or just Howie, that they were of that mindset. I feel that there is no doubt that that is true. While you know, I don't think those guys commented on the record on it, I don't think Sirianni would be saying stuff he said yesterday if he hadn't gotten word from on high, thou shall, you know, Chill the hell out, dude. All right? Enough. Knock it off. I mean, I like Sirianni, but let's not have a freaking clown show on our hands. Stomping off the field in Kansas City last year, a couple years ago, beating the Colts, moving up to, this is for Frank Reich. All right, relax. All right, come on. Sirianni yesterday, I thought this was, at least to my knowledge, the best example of, and I think this was Jeff McClain, I believe, of a reporter digging in on Sirianni on this issue. And this went on for a couple minutes. We're going to break it down into a couple parts here. Is Sirianni going to act different this year? There's in-game, and then there's like off-the-field stuff, if you will, like the stomp going to the sideline, you know, at the end. All right, here's Sirianni. Here's where it started yesterday on whether he's going to change.
In March, Jeffrey Lurie said that you were going to find the sweet spot in finding kind of like with your passion, staying authentic to yourself in terms of that, but also kind of reining it in to certain circumstances on the sideline, perhaps, maybe in your dealings with others. How have you gone about doing that?
Yeah, again, we're always, all of us, the moment we stop growing and trying to grow in our profession and grow as, you know, people, as players, as coaches, is the moment you might as well not be doing it anymore. So constantly trying to evolve it, everything that we do to, you know, you go through adversity and you think about what can I do better in adversity. You go through hard times or good times and you think about what could I do better. So it's, everything's always in a constant evaluation of yourself. That's accountability, right?
All right, so good start. I mean, you know, he's far from done. Believe me, he's far from done. But all right, that's his like his opening little salvo to try to address it. Now let's listen as he continues on. I will tell you this. It struck me like he did not feel totally comfortable going here publicly. But as he typically does, and I appreciate this, both as a fan and a member of the media, and we've interviewed Sirianni a lot, I do think he tries to give very thoughtful answers. Thoughtful answers. There's a lot of people that don't. Andy Reid did not try to give thoughtful answers. Chip Kelly did not try to give thoughtful answers. Sirianni, I think, is a very genuine person. I do like him a lot on a personal level. I think he's a nice guy. So he does start the process of opening up here, but I did feel it was a little uncomfortable for him. Here he is, more of Sirianni as he continued on.
And so, you know, to point out a specific thing, I mean, I've worked a lot on a lot of different things just to make sure that we, you know, that I'm being the best head coach that I possibly can be. And so I wouldn't say, you know.
Sideline thing, something that you have consciously thought about. I know it's only been preseason games. The passion probably isn't there as much as it would be.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about preseason. I want to win those games too.
Yeah. That's something that you feel like in certain circumstances that you know, can dial it down.
You know, I you know, one thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this off season was, if you want everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then you know you fussing at the refs is not. It's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that. Right. And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like, some sort of way.
All right. So he's putting out there, he's going to try to fuss, you know, as he says, fuss at the refs less, which is interesting because it can be an effective way of coaching. Jay Wright, to use an example, would fuss at the refs. I mean, he would give the refs a hard time. Part of that is you're trying to buy the next call. One of the things I always objected to with Sirianni was, and he did it like 10 different times in 2021, when he would complain about the pick plays the Eagles ran that they got flagged for. And it's like, coach, it was a pick play. They caught you. Like, I mean, it's like saying my guy palmed the ball. No, he didn't. They caught. No, he didn't palm the ball. Yeah, he palmed the ball. I mean, we all saw it. All right, Sirianni continues on because it's interesting. He's talking a lot about the in-game stuff. I think part of it also, though, was the not in-game stuff. He doesn't quite address that, but Sirianni's answer rolled on.
Like, when I think about me, you know, with a referee potentially on the sideline, I'm like, you know, and I complain about a call. Is that really sending the right message to the rest of the team as far as our accountability goes? Again, when something goes wrong, the answer should be, how do we fix this and what are the solutions, as opposed to, you know, looking for a scapegoat, I guess to say, is how I read it in the book. And that hit me a certain way.
All right, so it's interesting. Here are, to me, the takeaways. He's going to try to be different. He focused his answer on in-game stuff related to referees. I actually think non-referee stuff is a big part of what Lurie would want him to do differently. I mean, let me put it this way from my standpoint as an Eagles fan. I thought over the last 3 years, and I hate when I'm in this position, when, like, if I have a, you know, I went to Fairfield University in Connecticut, so I got a bunch of friends that are Giants fans or Jets fans or Patriots fans or whatever, northeast section of the country. When my buddies will text me or call me and be like, dude, what's up with your coach down there? Kind of seems like a clown show. When I don't have a good response, I hate that. Like, I hate when someone in Philadelphia does something.
Why don't you just say he's passionate?
Well, I do, but then I say, but I don't like it. I think it's misguided.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chiefs beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. The Eagles won a game last year because the Chiefs player dropped a touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And he stomps off the freaking field. It's like, coach.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
So, Jody, what do you make of this?
More off-field than in-game. I like a coach who fights with the referee.
Bill Cowher, right?
If I'm a player and he's out there fighting for me, because it's a questionable call. You're right. Every once in a while,
yeah.
Sirianni's questioning Paul Cole, going, coach, wrong time to pick a fight. He blatantly did it. What are you talking about here? But 9 out of 10 times, if I'm a player, my coach is screaming at a ref on a play that I was involved in. Thanks for taking my back, coach. That's what leaders are supposed to do. Now, I don't think that's a big deal.
It may have bugged. I think we feel confident it did bug Jalen, and it may have involved the offense not humming as well, because maybe he was a little, maybe his attention was a little diverted when it's like play calling time and play involvement time. Seltzer, what do you make of how Sirianni presented that yesterday?
Look, I'm with you guys. I have no problem with the in-game stuff. I do think it can be effective, and especially, look, he's not calling plays this year, so he doesn't have to worry about that in-game, so it doesn't bother me.
Let me ask you this real quick before you rev up what you're about to say. Do you think he goes too far in his celebrations of good things?
Yes.
Touchdown happens.
Yeah, he
runs down to the 7-yard line.
So, yes.
Like, I think that's too far.
It is, but at the same time, like, look, we want our coach to care like we do, right? We can't sit here all the time and be like, I want my owner to care like I do. I want my coach to care like I do and care about the Eagles and winning games as much as I do. So, like, I appreciate the passion that he shows. I think when you're showing other teams up, like, in certain spots, you got to be careful of that. But I'm all right with passion about excitement in-game stuff. It's the after the game going and yelling at fans or you know, going over the top. That's where I need him to cut it out. But like in game, man, like live. I'm cool with it.
So I want him to dial some of that back, but not the stuff at the refs when it's a righteous gripe. But I do want him to chill out on running down to the 5-yard line, mugging for the camera after a touchdown. Like have some decorum. I mean, look, I grew up on Buddy Ryan, who had zero decorum. In a different way.
Yeah, you always say Buddy's your favorite ever. So.
But times have changed.
Yeah,
and
the stone-faced coach, you know, Buddy Ryan, Bill Belichick-style coach is not the norm anymore.
I mean, Tom Landry would just stand there on the sideline. Right. Like, I mean, Jody,
he would move. Even Andy Reid, I feel like he's maybe gotten a little bit more animated, but he's still pretty dry.
Can I ask you a question while we're on the reaction thing? Because I just referenced Jay Wright 5 minutes ago, and he might be listening right now. Who knows?
Hey, Jay.
When Chris Jenkins hit that shot, how did all he do was go?
It's the coldest
thing. He goes, bang, his finger like moves forward or something, and he just walks to Roy Williams to shake the hand. No arms in the air, no jump.
So cool.
How did he do that? I mean, like, the hammer. I can't win a freaking trivia contest, you know, like, on a Friday morning at 7:55. I go, well, he won the national championship and was like, cool.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Two C's. Cool and calculated. Jay Wright was outstanding at both of them. He was cool.
Yeah.
But he was also very calculated.
Well, it's ironic after Raleigh and Lapis.
Completely different.
Totally over the top.
Completely different.
Totally over the top. 215 at Villanova before Jay. 215-592-9494. Gary in New Jersey. Gary, good morning, buddy.
Hey, let me ask you a question. So, a guy replaying his victory on Beat the Hammer, a loser, but a guy listening to his loss in the tub, not so much?
Take caution in your tone.
Settle down there, Gary. I got more where that came from. I got more.
What you talking about?
Don't do it. Don't step to me, Gary. I'm not in the mood.
I think Harper's not in the mood either. I think there's a home run coming tonight.
A home run from who?
Swing from Harper. I think he's not in the mood, or he's going to swing out of his shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Look, the Arcia thing is, to me, it's double-edged. I mean, on one hand, I think it's fun. On the other hand, I think he looks foolish. He looks worse because they lost the game. You know? I mean, it's talk about Buddy Ryan. I mean, Jody, that's the stuff Buddy would do. I mean, sometimes Buddy would win, but a lot of times Buddy would lose. He'd puff out his chest. He'd say the most ridiculous things. And the Eagles would lose to the freaking Cardinals.
Right.
It's like, come on, man. The Cardinals stink.
You got to pick and choose your battles.
Totally.
When to take your stands.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah, maybe do that in the bottom of the ninth.
All right, Gary, yeah. Hector Neris, you want him back?
Yes, please. One, please.
Hector the Protector.
How can it hurt? It might create some competition. He might,
I agree.
You know, be rejuvenated.
I heard it was more
like a contract thing too.
Oh, and by the way, I looked that up. Hector I guess the Cubs handled it the way they wanted to. They put him through irrevocable waivers. First,
what does that mean?
When you put a guy through irrevocable waivers, if another team claims him, you can't bring him back. You can put a player through waivers anytime. Like the Phillies can put up Harper through waivers.
Sure. Yeah.
And if someone claims him, you just pull him back.
Right.
And he stays yours. You go irrevocable, another team claims him, he's theirs. The Cubs already did that. He passed the entire league. So no one claimed
him.
Does
that mean anybody can sign him?
He is now an utter free agent, can sign with any team.
Oh, so it doesn't go by standings?
No, he already went through is the point.
He already went through irrevocable waivers and all 29 other teams passed. So he is a free agent.
Look,
basically, he should sign now. Some team may handle it differently. He should sign for veteran minimum. Because he's going to get paid by the Cubs.
Yeah.
He gets all his money
from
the Cubs.
Gary, I got to tell you, I find the whole thing weird because he pitched well this year to a certain extent.
And look, with
what the Phillies bullpen has been lately, and let's be real, guys, Estevez got incredibly lucky on that 3-0 or 3-1 pitch, whatever it was, that was called a strike last night that helped him battle back in that at-bat that became the out that Bohm made the charging play to throw the guy out at first. I mean, if that's a ball four call, as it probably should have been, bases loaded, one out, I mean, a decent chance the Phillies lose the game, and we're having a whole different conversation here.
Yeah, but I think Francis said it best when he said, like, oh, he's just calling them wherever he wants to tonight. Like, he was all over the place.
All right, Gary, give me a great answer, man, a sports quote. What do you got?
Well, the best part about this one is they actually did it. Win today, and we walk together forever.
Yeah.
Ooh, Freddie.
Great answer.
That is big time.
Freddie.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. By the way, I wish someone else was tracking all these, writing down these quotes and then having a talk. It's not the easiest thing. I mean, I'm still scribbling down quotes from an hour ago. Right? So I got, in order to, what was it, be the man, you got to beat the man?
Correct.
That was Ric Flair.
I mean, it's too much here. Too much on the plate.
You know you can ask one of us to help you.
All right, Devin, I ask you for the rest of the show. Write them all down.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boom.
Why do I feel like that's a threat?
No,
that,
because
it did feel very threatening.
Yeah, no,
you do it. Then
you do
fine.
It. You do it. You take care of it. All right.
So
and here's my reaction to that.
Yes! Oh, yes!
Something off my plate. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. So, by the way, we haven't ripped Richie enough. Let me just say, frankly, I want to rip the callers for not ripping Richie. I mean,
this is really
Jody. What'd you make of that when he cried? I mean, as a man,
cried isn't even like strong enough. Like, bawled his eyes out on the radio.
What did you make of that, Jody? Did you listen to that live?
No.
What did you make of it when you heard it?
I heard it after the fact. He's being real. Yeah. More power to him.
He's being real.
He's an emotional guy.
But we can still rip.
Who knows? Yeah, of course. That's standard operating procedure.
Yeah. So that's
the only thing that I question about him. Because, hey, if you feel it, you got to react. You got to be yourself or whatever. But he had to know he's going to get crushed after the fact.
It just came
Do
out,
not
man.
Try and control yourself better, knowing that if I go there, I'm a dead man.
This is really
172 times this is going to be played again by James and or Joe.
Times 10.
Yes.
If we're actually going to get real here, I wasn't going to get real, but let's get a little down and dirty. repressed emotions.
That's true, actually. Honestly, like right, the first like 6 years or 5 years of our show, our joke was John doesn't feel anything. Like it's like he's like just keeps it all in. It's starting to come out.
Now he's letting it all out.
And I wasn't really going to talk that much behind his back, but the feeling hit me. All right, so the moment was brought up here with Alec Bohm with the charging play. Let's listen to it. So there was one out in the ninth, two on. This was a shaky spot. Look, Estevez is very lucky he got out of this. Very lucky. Let's listen first to the second out of the inning. This is a really good play by Bohm.
Estevez is ready to go on the pitch. Swinging a tapper, left side, charging his ball. He's got it, throws on the run. Just in time to get Harris. What a play.
Man, seriously. I mean, without that, deep trouble. All right, so then you get another. You get a cue shot. You get one of those, like Chris Coase used to do this. As a right-handed hitter, he'd hit the cue shot down the right field line. He would specialize in that. Well, a Braves player did it, but not quite as far. It was a tough spot for Bryce, but he found a way. Like Buttermaker would say in the Bad News Bears to Tanner, get down on your knee. At the very least, block the ball. It's still in front of you. Maybe you can still make the play. That's what Bryce
did. Tying run at third. Winning run at second. Two outs. Bottom of the ninth. Estevez kicks the 0-1. Swing and a ground ball towards first. Harper smothers it near the bag. Picks it up. Steps on first and the game is over. Harper bangs that one around long enough to keep it in front. And he'll step on first and that ends the ball game.
Good play.
Skidding across the chalk as Harper able to finally reel that one in. It had some weird spin on it, but the Phillies celebrate a come-from-behind 3-2 win tonight over the Braves.
All right, very weird spin, but they got it done. Look, 215-592-9494. By the way, the Brewers lost yesterday. Dodgers won, so the Phillies still trail L.A., but one up on the Brewers, technically, if you want to say two up, because the Phillies own the tiebreaker. Let's get to Hans. Hans, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys were just talking about John Ritchie. I'm a fellow Central Pennsylvania resident here.
Nice.
And, I come from his Pennsylvania, as we like to say out here, but I bleed Philly blue and through.
That's not really a compliment when people say that, right?
not in the least, but you know, it's something that I have to live with every day.
There you go.
Out here. But anyway, I just wanted to talk. You guys were talking about the Sixers and who would take the last shot, and I just wanted to give my opinion. And
yeah.
I have
what do you make? What do you make of it? Quote. You got three choices. You got Paul George, Embiid, and Maxi. Who gets to set the tempo for the end of the game?
So there's three choices, but I think there's a difference maker there that we haven't had for years now, and that's Nick Nurse. We actually have a coach that will put the guys in the position to take the best shot. You know, we had Doc Rivers and we had Brett Brown, and none of those guys, I don't trust them to put the guys in the position, but I trust Nick Nurse to get the ball to Maxi, and I trust Maxi to make the right decision. And I think I trust him to read the defense, and I trust him to either get the ball to Embiid in the post or to penetrate and dish to Paul George. And I trust Maxi to maybe take it to the hole.
But to be, Hans, to be fair, because that's what Jody said, but let's just really break down what that means. You're choosing Maxi to it's Maxi's show. If he chooses to pass it, he chooses to pass it. But you're saying put the ball in Max's hands. I mean, if you have 7 seconds left, you don't, you know, like, clock's ticking. Let you know. Bottom line is you're saying Maxi gets to make the decision.
Catch and shoot is one thing, but I think if you have time to set up a play and develop it, I trust Maxi to get the job done.
Yep. I think he's my guy, too. I think it's Maxi.
If you're talking about catch and shoot, then I think you chuck it to Embiid, and he can, you know, take a Christian Laettner shot from the foul line. You know, that's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, Hans, give me a great answer for a great sports quote.
Okay, so this is one I use when I've stolen this one before. I don't know how much it's gotten dramatized, you know, through a movie scene. I've used it as I coach my daughter's softball team, but it's the name on the front of your jersey is a hell of a lot more important than the name on the back.
You got it, Hans. Appreciate that phone call, man. Yeah, no, I got you. Good stuff right there. Let's get to Jalen. You know, I said kind of a tale of two different answers from Jalen Hurts yesterday. So we played one of them earlier. I want to play it again. Darius Slay with an interception yesterday of Jalen Hurts in practice, the only one in training camp. Now, Jalen had a really funny response, and I enjoyed this a lot. This is good stuff. Funny response by Jalen Hurts on if he and Slay had an interaction after that pick.
Slay say anything to you after the pick?
Nah, I told him about time.
All right, that's good, right? I mean, you're not a robot. You're good. It's fun. It's good camaraderie. It's good stuff. But I want to play a different answer he gave. Because this one, to me, falls into the category of the more traditional, don't know if it's stoic or slightly standoffish or just kind of weird or all of the above, Jalen answer on his physicality. You know, last year, what was going on? I mean, he does look better in camp this year. He looks more spry, if you will. And obviously hasn't been taking the hits yet, so that he should be more spry. We'll see how long it lasts. But a lot of people are saying he looks great. All right. So Jalen yesterday, including a little pushback from him initially, which I don't know why it required pushback. Here's Jalen. I found this to be more of a strange answer.
I feel physically different this year versus last year. You had a longer season last year, or for whatever the reason may be.
What do you mean?
Do you feel physically better than you did last year?
Well, I think I'm in a better place. Yeah, I think I'm in a better place physically. Yeah, obviously had some nicks there throughout the year that I told you guys not to ask me about. But, you know, you deal with those things, you know, and I think all of those things have made me better. They've made me reevaluate some things, and they've allowed me to reassess, and I've been able to saturate myself in the right things.
All right, couple different things. Seltzer, I see you.
Who says saturate myself in things? Like, what a weird way to phrase something. Like,
I was more hung up on him saying, I told you guys not to ask me.
That's
it. I remembered that from last year.
Jody, like,
it's such a strange phrasing.
All right, Jody, I see you kind of shaking your head. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking he's different. I don't know that that's good or bad, but he's just different.
Yes.
And he's been different since the day he showed up. None of this is new. This is not like, where the hell is our quarterback going? No, this has been Jalen Hurts since the day he showed up here. He has a different way of, I think, thinking, certainly playing, and just processing
and
things.
And expressing himself as well.
Totally. I agree. Look, the saturate thing is very strange. And Devin, your point about, like, I told you guys not to ask me about that. Does he know that that doesn't mean they're not going to ask him? Or not going to ask him? Whatever I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Honestly, I think maybe as media members, we assume that they know that, but maybe he doesn't.
Well, he might know it, but he might think he can influence. And
it's like, you're not allowed to shut down topics of conversation.
Nor be indignant if someone does ask about
it. Especially, like, there are actual, like, NFL guidelines and rules with this stuff, with gambling now and all that stuff, with the injury report, all that stuff, where
totally.
It's like, it's public knowledge, man. It has to be. I'm sorry, dude. Like, it's actually where we're supposed to ask you about
And you guys know my thing. I hope he was kind of hurt last year from the standpoint that would explain, you know, somewhat why he was so much slower. I mean, he was like not, for a guy who got in the league, and I'm not saying he was Michael Vick, he wasn't that, but I mean, he was well above the norm as far as running quarterbacks go, well above the norm. And then he could turn every corner. And then last year, he couldn't turn any corner. Wait, can't ask you about that? Come on, man.
And the thing that bothered me most about Jalen last year, and I still don't know the answer, if either one of you two or James included want to clue me in, I would be surprised that you could definitively answer this.
What?
When he would just sit down, he'd move toward the sidelines. It's one thing to run out of bounds. You're stopping the clock, blah, blah. He would just like
fall down.
Go to
his butt. You got me. Yep.
And I'm going, this is preconceived. I still to this day do not know, did he decide he was going to get less aggressive when he got out of the pocket and turned the football upfield, or not turn it upfield, just turn to his butt cheeks? Or if someone told him that's what he's expected to do.
I agree. Look, I think
and that's a question I'm sure Jalen wouldn't want, wouldn't answer, would dance around. But I don't think that anyone has ever come forth on or off the record and truly said, yeah, we told Jalen he can't put himself at risk. And he understood it and he did what we asked him to. Or Jalen decided for himself. We were surprised when he went to his butt cheeks coming out of the pocket. I still don't know the answer to
that
question.
Jody, I totally agree with you. That was a big,
huge part of last year.
Huge part. I mean, I'm sure they said something to him, but did it rub him the wrong way? Did he take it too far? Did he choose his own course? It was strange. It was.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.